This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Calling out China. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka on this Tuesday, June 15th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Members of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization are raising concerns about China's rapidly expanding nuclear arsenal. Hear how Beijing is responding.
Another biotech company says its experimental COVID vaccine is better than 90% effective and provides a similar defense against variants.
A massive fire at a chemical plant in northern Illinois is spewing smoke that reportedly can be seen as far as 100 miles away. It'll take days to burn out.
And the big decisions ahead as the Supreme Court hears roughly 20 cases before the end of the month.
There's 19 pending cases that have yet to be decided before the term ends. There is no fixed date for when the term ends, but typically the justices try to clear their docket before July starts. So we're looking at a potentially whirlwind ending to this term.
John Kruzel at The Hill on the potential landmark decisions for the 6-3 conservative court. President Biden continues warning of Russia and China's growing power. He told foreign counterparts yesterday at his first NATO summit that Russia's aggressive acts like cyber attacks posed a threat to security. Mr. Biden also reacted to Russia, indicating that it won't guarantee that opposition leader Alexei Navalny would leave prison alive.
Navalny's death would be another indication that Russia has little or no intention of abiding by basic fundamental human rights.
Meanwhile, in a new communique, China is mentioned nearly a dozen times, a shift from past NATO summits when Beijing was barely mentioned. It mentions concerns over Beijing's rapidly expanding nuclear arsenal and military cooperation with Russia. China's delegation to the European Union, meanwhile, urged NATO earlier today to stop exaggerating, quote, the China threat theory. A grocery cashier in Georgia has been killed and two other people were wounded after a shooting broke out following an argument about the store's mask policy. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The shooting took place at a Big Bear grocery store in DeKalb County around lunchtime yesterday when 30-year-old Victor Tucker of Palmetto, Georgia, entered the store. Police say Mr. Tucker was asked to wear a mask but refused and got into an argument with the female cashier before leaving. They say he then barged back inside and fatally shot her in the head. A retired deputy who was working security at the store intervened and returned fire. Both men were struck by gunfire and are hospitalized in stable condition. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. By the way, the ex-deputy, a former member of the local county sheriff's office for 30 years, was wearing a bulletproof vest. Authorities said a second cashier was grazed by a bullet and treated at the scene. The accused gunman was arrested by responding deputies as he tried to crawl out of the front door of the supermarket. More good news in the fight against the coronavirus. Novavax says its experimental COVID vaccine was 90% effective at preventing symptomatic disease in adults in a large clinical trial. Novavax says the study of nearly 30,000 people also found that the vaccine was similarly effective against newer coronavirus strains, especially the Alpha variant, now dominant in the U.S. Meanwhile, a bipartisan group of lawmakers gathered on the steps of the U.S. Capitol building to honor American lives lost to COVID. As the country's pandemic death toll nears 600,000, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
It is particularly jarring at this moment, a moment of recovery, optimism, and hope, to remember the enormity of lives lost over the past 15 months.
Separately, Vermont is lifting all remaining pandemic restrictions now that the state has become the first to have partially vaccinated at least 80% of residents 12 or older. By comparison, Mississippi is at just 35%.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like you're going 100 miles an hour, barely keeping up. But to cruise through challenges, you need someone who's right there with you. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the tech advice you need to get past whatever's in front of you and get to where you want to go. For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Tuesday. The Supreme Court is poised for a whirlwind end of term, with justices expected to clear the court's docket of more than 20 pending cases before July. John Kruzel, Supreme Court correspondent at The Hill, has a look at a couple of the big cases to watch. John, what do we have?
There's 19 pending cases that have yet to be decided before the term ends. There is no fixed date for when the term ends, but typically the justices try to clear their docket before July starts. So we're looking at a potentially whirlwind ending to this term. And the big cases are about five that we've identified as ones that are of significant public interest, cases that concern the fate of Obamacare, for example. There's a case that pits the rights of LGBT couples against a Catholic adoption agency. There's also an important voting rights case to be decided. And I'm happy to drill down on those and others if you'd like. But just to give you a snapshot, I mean, this is, has the potential to affect, the lives of millions of Americans.
Yeah. All right. So start with the first one here, same-sex foster parents and religious liberty.
Sure. So the city of Philadelphia partners with third-party agencies to place foster children in permanent homes. One of those agencies is a Catholic organization, Catholic Social Services. Now, they say that their religious convictions prevent them from placing children in the homes of same-sex couples. Now, when the city of Philadelphia learned that this was their practice, they cut ties with the group. The group sued. And the case made its way to the Supreme Court. And the question there is whether or not this religious group is has the right to an exemption from the Philadelphia non-discrimination law, or whether Philadelphia acted lawfully when they decided to cut ties with this group.
Wow. Explain the Obamacare challenge here that's being discussed too, John.
Sure. So this is the third major Obamacare challenge to reach the Supreme Court in about a decade. This one arose after President Trump, along with Congress, you'll recall, put in place those 2017 tax cuts. And one of the things those tax cuts did was zeroed out the penalty that Obamacare slapped on most Americans who refused to buy health insurance. You'll recall that that penalty was to induce young, healthy people to buy insurance so that you reduce the overall cost. And what a number of Republican states are arguing is that because the tax is no longer being assessed to people without insurance, that the provision of the law should be struck down. And they further argue that because that piece should be struck down, and since that piece is so essential to holding up the entire law, the entire Obamacare structure should come crumbling down and the entire law should be wiped off the books.
We're speaking with John Kruzel, Supreme Court correspondent at The Hill. He's written a piece about the handful of upcoming big SCOTUS decisions. Explain to the NCAA athlete compensation.
Sure. So NCAA, this is the association that coordinates efforts on behalf of higher education in the area of athletics. And they say that the important distinguishing characteristic that makes college sports different from pro sports is that college athletes are not paid. It's what they call their amateurism model. Now, the players, former and current players, sued because, for understandable reasons, they don't all agree with this position. And they say, at the very least, they should be allowed to be provided with education-related benefits, things like laptop computers, funding for study abroad programs, graduate school tuition, things like that. And the issue here is whether or not the NCAA's amateurism model violates antitrust law. Antitrust law, it basically wants to keep the markets reasonably free and fair. It bars certain restraints on competition for talent and labor. So it's a major clash between these two parties, the NCAA and the set of current and former players that want to be allowed more generous compensation.
Thanks, John. John Kruzel, Supreme Court correspondent at The Hill. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
China is accusing NATO of slander after alliance leaders warned about systemic challenges coming from Beijing. NATO said China's actions, including expanding its nuclear arsenal, threaten rules-based international order. The NATO meeting was President Biden's first as president.
NATO stands together. That's how we've met every other threat in the past. It's our greatest strength as we meet our challenges of the future, and there are many.
China urged NATO to devote more of its energy to promoting dialogue.
Number two.
A cyber espionage campaign blamed on China was more sweeping than previously known, with suspected state-backed hackers exploiting a device meant to boost internet security to penetrate the computers of critical U.S. entities. The hack of Pulse Connect secure networking devices came to light in April, but its scope is now only starting to become clear. The hackers targeted Verizon and the country's largest water agency.
Number three.
Attorney General Merrick Garland says the Justice Department will tighten its rules around obtaining records of members of Congress amid revelations that the department under former President Trump had secretly seized records from Democrats and members of the media. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell believes the lawmakers' records are fair game.
The Department of Justice is empowered to investigate criminal conduct by members of Congress and their staff. Necessarily, this sort of investigation is subject to strict procedural protections.
Senate Democrats are calling on former attorneys General Jeff Sessions and William Barr to testify under oath about the subpoenas. Flames engulfed a chemical plant in northern Illinois, forcing the evacuation of neighbors and threatening an environmental nightmare. Anyone living within a mile of the ChemTool Incorporated plant in Rockton was ordered to vacate. Winnebago County Public Health Administrator Sandra Martell.
If you are within 3 miles of the site, we are asking that you wear your face coverings, your face mask when out of doors.
Explosions could be heard around the neighborhood. Yes, there are actually a lot of good things that came out of the pandemic. According to a new study conducted by Edward Jones, 70% of us say the pandemic caused us to be more reflective and pay more attention to our long-term finances. 76% credit the pandemic with helping them refocus on what's important in life. 53% of retirees say they now have greater empathy and compassion for people who are struggling in ways that they are not.
All right. Thank you, Jen. Coming up next, where can you buy a bicycle?
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness? We're all dealing with a lot right now. I'm sure you feel the same kind of added stress I do. Then you should know about BetterHelp. BetterHelp isn't a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Start communicating in under 48 hours. Schedule weekly or monthly phone or video sessions or whatever works for you. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. That's why there's a special offer for This Morning with Gordon Deal listeners. 10% off your first month. Visit BetterHelp.com/Gordon. That's BetterHelp.com/Gordon. And join the over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. That's 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Gordon.
Thanks for joining us. More than a year into a pandemic that geared up the allure of biking, an outdoor activity where it's already a good idea to stay at least a couple of feet away from another person, it can be pretty difficult to get bikes and bike parts. Insight from Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Andy, what's happening?
This really is another example of all of the supply chain issues that have been plaguing, certain retailers and, you know, companies and consumers for a year now. So much of bikes and bike parts and assembly and so on are made in Asia, in China specifically. And some bikes and other things like fireworks, for example, are all getting kind of snarled and held up in somewhere along the way, you know, from the production to the, you know, to just bringing it over and getting it into stores. And then on the other side, there's still tons of demand. People who want to get, you know, it started last year with people just needing to get outside somehow, and a bike was a good way to do it. And so you have that demand, and that demand has stayed. And so you have this mismatch on supply and demand. I talked to one trade group, and they said that they won't get in. There are some estimates that they won't have inventory back to normal levels until 2023, which is crazy. You know, I talked to a bike salesman, and he said that in the past year he had brought on 1,500 new customers into his database who came in and, you know, bought something of some sort, you know, maybe it was a bike or a bike part or whatever, but just new customers that coming in and, you know, plunking down money somehow on a bike. And so you, again, just illustrations of that demand.
We're speaking with Andy Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. He's written a story entitled, "There's a COVID-related bicycle shortage in the U.S. I think there was one bike shop owner, too, normally said you might have like a collection of 200 bicycles in store to choose from, and what he's got like a handful right now.
Right. Yeah, he's the same guy. He had, you know, usually when you think of bike store, you walk in and you have this array of bikes and you try one, and you know, if you like it, you roll right out the door with it. And the pantry is really bare. I mean, he had like 10. Or under 10, where you could just walk in and look at. You know, there were others that, you know, show bikes, show models, and other bikes that where that someone had put a deposit on it. But the ones that you could walk right out the door with were few and far between.
Thanks, Andy. Andy Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. By the way, NPD Group, a market research firm, says bike sales rose 78% on the year between January and March after rising 38% during the same period last year. It's 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Taking the day's information and helping you make sense of it all. We're here for you every morning. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday, June 15. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. President Biden says Russia and China are trying to drive a wedge into NATO. A Senate panel today holds a hearing about a bill that would provide permanent legal status for millions of illegals. An extreme heat wave in the West has doctors warning people to stay off hot sidewalks. Most of California's pandemic rules officially end today. A dominant American runner says she's been banned 4 years for an anabolic steroid she believes came from a burrito, and how we arrived at calling COVID variants by Greek letters. That story in about 20 minutes. It's time for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. More U.S. workers are quitting their jobs than at any time in at least two decades, signaling optimism among many professionals, while also adding to the struggles companies face trying to keep up with the economic recovery. Here to explain the trend is Lauren Weber, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Lauren, give us some data.
The share of Americans that are quitting their jobs went up to a record high in April. The Labor Department has been looking at this data since around the year 2000, and right now, about 2.7% of Americans are quitting their jobs. That was in April. That's up from about 1.6 a year ago during the pandemic. So clearly, there's a lot of people ready to make a move.
Wow. And the reasons are what? The pandemic was just a wake-up call? This is like, you know, almost the way some people have a near-death experience and reinvent themselves?
There are a lot of reasons, and that's one of them. I would say there are a few buckets. One is that quitting was really suppressed during the pandemic. People were kind of clinging to whatever jobs they could. Job security was felt kind of hard to come by. So people weren't taking a risk on a new position. So there's a certain amount of pent-up demand. People are now ready to leave behind jobs that maybe they would have left last year had there not been a pandemic. Another interesting thing that I found was that a lot of people got a chance to try out new skills or learn new skills during the pandemic, and often that meant digital skills. Many people moved to working from home. They had to do whatever they were doing previously online. More and more of it was online. They were learning new technologies, and a lot of people found they had a facility for that. So that might have opened up career options for people, especially into a career like technology where there's a lot of job opportunity. So if people found they had an ability there, it was a good time to try to market that and make a career switch. And then for others, and I think this has been discussed elsewhere, you know, there is a way that a certain crisis or a sense of emergency can really make you reconsider what you're doing with your life and think about, well, is this all there is? Is this really what I want to do? So for some people, there was just time on their hands to really think, you know, maybe I want to try something new and recreate my life.
And because there seems to be plenty of opportunities for people to try this reinvention or change in career paths, does that mean employers are forced to raise wages to either pick new people up or retain the ones they have?
Well, we're seeing that in the macro data. Wages are going up, and that's both as employers try to retain the employees they have, but also as they try to attract more people off the sidelines to fill open jobs. There's all kinds of things that some of the companies I spoke to are trying to retain people. They're trying to promote people more quickly, realizing that people might be restless and ready for a change. They may be offering incentives. They may be offering stock grants, different ways to try to breed loyalty and create that sense of this job is too good for me to leave right now.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Lauren Weber, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. She's got a good story entitled Forget Going Back to the Office. People are just quitting instead. You opened the story with the tale of Edward Moses. What was his example? What did he go through?
Well, he actually was very lucky in that he found a job at the very beginning of the pandemic. He had been laid off in February 2020 before the pandemic really got going. And then he found a job as doing IT help desk work at a software company. And he thought he was going to be part of a team that was going to be providing IT support for employees in about four different offices. But the company, like so many others, ended up going through a wave of layoffs pretty soon after he arrived. He managed to hold on to his job, but it meant that he was doing the work of a few people on his own, and he just got burnt out. And that was another reason why people I spoke with said that they were moving on. I think people felt underappreciated. Companies were reluctant to give raises last year, partly maybe because they were just concerned about what was going to happen with the economy and with demand, but also because, you know, companies are often reluctant to give raises. So he had kind of had it, and so he started looking for jobs back in the fall, had a few interesting opportunities, and what he really wanted to do was move out of doing IT help desk work and become a technical writer, which used some of his other skills. And he did eventually find a position doing that, and he's very thrilled about it. That was another thing that I found was a real positive of this. I mean, obviously, turnover is a huge headache for employers. Yeah. They now have to fill positions. Sometimes it interrupts their operations. Sometimes they have to pay more to attract people. But for individuals, this is a really good time for people to find something that's a better fit for them.
Thanks, Lauren. Lauren Weber, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, the Chicago beer snake. This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now, there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and three free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com.
AURA.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's AURA.com/Gordon.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, as the world continues to move toward pre-pandemic normalcy this summer, there's something that should be obvious, but apparently needs to be said. Tanning and face masks don't mix. This after, according to the New York Post, a British man went viral after showing off a huge untanned white patch around his mouth on his visibly red face after allegedly forgetting to take off the N95 mask he was wearing when he went outside. Devin Wright posted the clip to TikTok and it's been watched over 18 million times. Now, we say allegedly because there are many who are speculating this whole thing is fake, maybe even just a clever face filter. If it is fake, however, Wright isn't showing any signs of admitting it. In fact, he's doubling down on his newfound infamy, posting new photos of new videos of his appearances on British media outlets to talk about his sunbathing misadventure.
Okay.
So, you know, he's being invited on to talk about this.
All right. I saw the videos, and my take is that, and I may be wrong, that it's real, but he did it on purpose. For this.
Right.
That's kind of what I think. Because he seems to be very comfortable in front of the camera. Most people, when they get in front of a camera and posting a video, like nervous or awkward. He seems very smooth at times, especially when he's doing the selfie in front of a, I don't know, is a radio host or a podcast host saying, hey, getting ready for this appearance, guys, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Like, yeah, I mean, obviously a self-promoter just based on the other videos that he has on on there. My guess is, you know, probably went to a tanning bed and did it. I mean, because it was so perfect.
I'll give you
the
lines
that.
It
were
was
so perfect. You're right. Probably did it on purpose, went to a tanning bed to do it.
Yeah. Well, this is the age we live in.
Yes.
Let me do something like that to try to attract attention to myself.
You know, 18 million views. It worked this time.
You did it.
And with all the stories we do about sports and beer, it's a wonder we almost missed this one from over the weekend. The Chicago Cubs played to a capacity crowd for the first time since 2019, and the fans were obviously in a celebratory mood. Enter the Beer Snake. Fans in the bleachers at Sunday's game crafted an epic beer snake made of empty, or in some cases, partially full beer cups. There were actually several beer snakes spotted, but the longest one was said to be over 100 feet long, which takes a lot of work to put and hold together, and a lot of cups, which don't come cheap. By one estimate on Twitter, a 100-foot beer snake would be made up of approximately 2,400 cups, which at $12 a beer means that it would take nearly $30,000 to pull off the feat. Likely well worth it for the fans who wound up getting a whole lot of national TV time.
Wow, that was impressive.
Yes.
That was impressive.
Yeah, the most impressive part was, like I said, some of the half-full beers included.
Right.
So then, you know, they kind of pointed it downward in the bleachers, down toward a different section of the bleachers, and a whole bunch of people got showered with beer.
That is the most fun I've ever had at a baseball game, by the way.
At Cubs?
Oh, the bleachers at Wrigley Field.
Oh, yeah.
Just the most fun ever.
Yeah, even if you're not a Cubs fan, it's just a place to be.
Yeah, you don't even have to love baseball.
No.
You're just having a good time
just
out
hang
there.
Out.
We played the cup game, right? I put a buck in, and for that batter, I hold the cup. And if he doesn't get a hit, I give it to you. You put a dollar in and hold the cup. You take the prize if your guy gets a hit. It's just
after a while, you forget
so much fun.
How many dollars and cups were involved.
13 minutes now in front of the hour.
As a business owner, you eventually realize you can't do everything yourself, but hiring is complicated. And what if you only need part-time help? Belay, an innovative staffing solution, has successfully matched thousands of businesses with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. Belay offers you a virtual support team that can transform your workday. Let Belay help you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, B-E-L-A-Y, solutions.com/deal. That's BelaySolutions.com/deal.
Thanks for being with us. Blame a global computer chip shortage that's crippled car production, pent-up demand caused by coronavirus restrictions, or simply a bustling economy. No matter the cause, MarketWatch says one thing is for sure, new cars are in short supply. Toyota dealers have the weakest inventories, just 18 days supply on average, meaning lots would be essentially empty in less than 3 weeks if Toyota stopped shipping new cars from factories. The hottest Toyota, ironically, one of the oldest designs on the market, the 4Runner SUV, down to just 9 days supply. Another model that's tricky to find, the Chrysler Pacifica minivan, less than a 20-day supply. Large SUVs from General Motors, including the Chevy Suburban and Tahoe, GMC Yukon, and Cadillac Escalade, tricky to find too. Dealers have less than 25 days supply. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenko.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden used his first NATO summit since taking office to warn of Russia and China's growing power, repeating a call that the military alliance needs to prove to the world that democracy can still prevail. Biden says he spoke with his foreign counterparts about Russia's aggressive acts that pose a threat to security. He says he will make clear where the red lines are in his meeting tomorrow with Russian President Vladimir Putin.
I shared with our allies that I'll convey to what I'll convey to President Putin, that I'm not looking for conflict with Russia, but that we will respond if Russia continues its harmful activities.
The president sidestepped a question on whether he supports giving Ukraine a plan to join the military alliance, telling reporters school's out on that question.
Number two.
In the West, the heat is on. A historic heat wave is gripping many states, including Colorado, California, Arizona, and Montana, amid stifling temperatures affecting about 50 million people. The scorcher has prompted the National Weather Service to issue its first ever excessive heat warning for the area around Grand Junction, about 250 miles west of Denver, which is expected to hit 110. Temperatures in Phoenix may reach 120 degrees.
Number three.
An argument over a mask at a Georgia supermarket ended with a suspect opening fire inside the shop, killing a cashier and wounding a sheriff's deputy. The shooting occurred at a supermarket in DeKalb County. Authorities say the suspect, 30-year-old Victor Tucker, was checking out when the argument occurred. He left without making a purchase, then returned with a handgun and allegedly shot the female cashier. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson says the next planned relaxation of coronavirus restrictions in England will be delayed by 4 weeks until July 19th. Johnson says the country will accelerate its vaccination drive to counter the Delta variant. The scientists believe is between 40 and 80% more transmissible than the previous dominant strain in the UK. When the New England Aquarium in Boston promised visitors they could return anytime in the future, they sure did mean it. The aquarium accepted a late gate ticket last week, first purchased in 1983. The tickets, which allowed for a visit at a later time, were discontinued 25 years ago, but the aquarium still honors those old ones if anyone still has one.
Talk about being grandfathered in. Man.
Right?
That's great. Thanks, Jen. Coming up next, nobody's happy with how variants get their names.
For your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. Whoa! And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Whew. For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. It's hard to find a good name for a bad virus. In December, the World Health Organization began brainstorming an easy-to-remember system for naming coronavirus variants. The Wall Street Journal says the overriding rule, variants cannot be named after the place they were found. To avoid stigmatizing countries, Greek gods like Apollo were struck down because of trademark concerns. Using common names like Katrina, as is done for hurricanes, is against the agency's best practices. A simple numerical system where the first variant would be V1 was rejected because V2 was the name of a German rocket used during World War II. Last month, they settled on a Greek alphabet-based system, so the variant previously known as the UK variant is now known as Alpha. Not everybody, of course, was happy. The task force in charge received feedback from an aggrieved Greek national demanding to know why the World Health Organization hadn't chosen the Roman alphabet. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenko, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.